Good evening to you. Greetings in the name of the one that said, cast your net out on the other side. And the net was full of fishes. Thank you for those introductory thoughts. What do we do when we realize that Jesus is more than just a teacher, more than just a good man? It reminds us of our sinfulness. Open your Bibles to Titus 3. Brother Lyle called me, I guess it was a year ago, somewhere along that line, and asked if I would come and preach on a phrase from Titus 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness. And what does that mean? Not by works of righteousness. Well, we want to think about that this evening and inspire us, I believe, with this thought. Aren't works of righteousness a good thing? I'd like to read Titus 3 at this point. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me, salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Not by works of righteousness. What is that phrase teaching us in this passage? Well, Paul wrote this letter to Titus, and he's reminding Titus that salvation is because of the mercy of God. Tonight we are not saved because of our righteous works, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We are saved by God's mercy. You know, the wages of sin is death, and that is a just punishment for each one of us, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Our salvation this evening is because of the mercy of God, not by works of righteousness. I believe it's important to meditate on this truth for at least two reasons. One of the reasons is, if you've been living a fruitful Christian life for many years, you may begin to think that God loves you because of your righteous living. And that type of thinking quickly bears the fruit called self-righteousness. And that's why it's important to meditate on this, that our salvation tonight is because of the mercy of God, not because of righteous living. And if we forget that, we start down the thinking that ends up with self-righteousness. And I believe that self-righteousness is such a stench to God, because we have forgotten that we are saved because of his mercy. And when we when salvation comes to us through the mercy and love of God our Father through Jesus Christ, then the righteous living flows out of that salvation. But it's not the cause of the salvation. Salvation comes because of the... But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. God loves us and saves us because of his great mercy, and our righteous living must flow out of that salvation. It's not the cause of this, of the salvation, and that's why our title this evening, Not by Works of Righteousness, which we have done, is so important for us to keep in mind so that we don't lose our thankfulness for the mercy of God. It is the mercy of God that we have found repentance and forgiveness. It's the mercy of God that we have been washed in regeneration and renewed by the Holy Spirit. So I believe one of the reasons it's important to meditate on this truth is so that we don't stray into the thinking that God loves me because I am living a righteous life, but rather God loves me and has mercy on me while I was yet in sin, and my salvation is because of that. Secondly, I believe it's important to meditate on this truth if you think that you're good enough without Jesus. We aren't saved because we're good people. You can't get good enough to be saved. And sometimes we may think thoughts like that. Well, I know I've done too many bad things. I need to do better things before Jesus can save me. No, you can't be good enough without Jesus. We aren't saved because we're good people. We're saved because Jesus loves us enough to atone for our sins. Salvation comes to us because God is merciful. Not because we're good people. Not because we work works of righteousness. Not because we make good choices or live out right living. We are saved because of the mercy of God. And we need the work of Jesus to atone for our sins. You know, it varies. Each one of us have a different story of how we met God. And for some of us, we knew that we needed Jesus. It was not a doubt in our mind that we had done things that were worthy of death. But for others, sometimes they grow up and they've been obedient to their parents, and they don't think that there's a heart of rebellion in themselves per se, and they hardly sense that they need Jesus. And I believe that it's important to meditate on this truth for that reason as well, that we understand how much we need Jesus. Doesn't the good outweigh the bad, we may think? Yes, perhaps we've done some bad things, but we've also done a lot of good things, and doesn't the good things outweigh the bad things? No, that's not how it works. Bad deeds are not made right by good deeds. Bad deeds need to be atoned for. And that was why the blood was shed in the Old Testament. Blood had to be shed for sin because sin had to be atoned for. You couldn't just do good things and that made the bad things go away. Bad deeds needed to be atoned for. And so this verse teaches us that we're not saved by our works of righteousness. We are saved by the mercy of God. And this mercy was shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We live in the era where the blood that is shed for our sins was shed by Jesus Christ on the cross. And so we need Jesus to save us from ourselves and from our sins tonight. And I believe that's why it's important to think on this on this verse and on this phrase to rekindle within us a clear understanding of how much we need Jesus. And because we dare not forget. We need Jesus to save us from ourselves and from our sins. This grace that was shed upon us was because of the kindness and love of God our Savior. It wasn't because we earned it. It wasn't because of things that we did. But it was out of the character of God. His kindness and love on humanity that he has brought salvation to us. And when we understand that, our heart responds back with love and adoration to our Savior and a deep thankfulness because of who and where we would be without the love of God shed on us tonight. And so the lesson from this verse tonight is that our salvation is by the grace and mercy of God, not because of the good things that we have done. Now, that's not saying that righteous living is not a good thing. We are saved to good works. We are saved for good works, not by good works. God wants works of righteousness to flow from our lives. We just dare not get confused and think that we are saved by those good works. We are saved by the love and mercy of God our Savior. If we slowly begin to think that we were saved by our good works, as I said earlier, that those are the thoughts that engender self-righteousness in us. And we begin to think that we were worthy of salvation. We begin to think that it's because of the good things that we've done, and it is false. We're saved for good works, not by good works. Let's back up to Titus 2, verse 11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We are saved for good works, not by good works. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men to teach us how to live godly. Good works or living godly is very important. However, we must not get confused and think that is what saved us. It is how saved people live. It's not what saves us, it's how saved people live. You know, self-righteousness is a form of idolatry. We turn from worshiping Jesus Christ as the one who atoned for our sins, and we replace him in our lives by worshiping ourselves because of the good things that we have done. And so I believe that it is a stench to God. Second, Peter 1 describes the beautiful graces that flow from the life of a converted person. Just turn there in your Bible to 2 Peter 1. We won't spend much time there, but I'd like to just point out 2 Peter 1, it beginning in verse 3 and following, it talks about the virtues and the graces that flow from a person's life who has been atoned for their sins, and there's virtue, there's diligence, and there's faith, and there's virtue, and to virtue there's knowledge, and to knowledge there's temperance, and to temperance there's patience, and to patience there's godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And then verse 8 says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." This phrase is written in the negative, and so I'd like to switch it, and I'd like to say it this way. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Abundantly fruitful. But verse 9, he that lacketh these things is blind. These graces are not flowing from your life. It's because you're blind and you cannot see afar off. And what? And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You see, it is extremely important that we do not forget that we have been purged from our old sins. If we lose that awareness in our mind that salvation comes from the mercy and kindness of God poured out on us through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, and from that our life should flow righteous living. If we forget that, instead begin to think that God loves us, God saves us because of righteous things. It warns us that, verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so in an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And this, by how verse 10 explains this to us, it suggests that if we have forgotten those things, that we will fall from his grace and his care in our lives. And so there are two purposes for this meditation tonight. The first purpose, I believe, is if you have lost the wonder of your salvation, I would like to rekindle that awareness of how much we each need Jesus. If you have lost the wonder of your salvation, I would like to rekindle that awareness of how much we each need Jesus. A keen awareness of who we were and what Jesus did for us and continues to do for us is necessary for us to be fruitful in our Christian life, as 2 Peter 1 makes that very clear. And, you know, I believe this is a possibility that can happen in our life. As we have experienced God's work in our life and we live victoriously in our Christian life, and as the years go by, sometimes we can slowly lose that wonder, and after a while we have forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. I believe that's a possibility. And so if that's where your mind has been wandering to, tonight we want to rekindle the awareness of how much we need Jesus and how much our very being depends on him and his work in our life and his ongoing work in our life. So if you've lost the wonder of your salvation, may it be rekindled tonight. And the second purpose for this meditation, I believe, is if you have never been converted, I'd like to impress in your mind how much you need Jesus. As I mentioned this morning, there are those in society that want to keep saying that people are really basically good. But I don't know how you can read the Bible or history and believe that people are basically good. There's so much evil in our world and is perpetuated by people. We're extremely flawed. I'm extremely flawed. And sure, we're capable of good and beautiful things, but there's a dark side to each one of us that is capable of the opposite. And if you don't believe that you're capable of the opposite, just read the Bible. And we are people just like you read about in the Bible. As verse 3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That's the dark side that each one of us have the capacity to be, to live out. And maybe you read across that list and don't think that it's so bad when you read across it. But let me tell you that that list is the opposite that God wants from the people that he created. That list describes the Cain and Esau's of this world. And that those descriptions take you far away from God. They don't bring you to God. Every one of us is capable of being foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, being hateful and hating one another. Becoming a Christian means that you've confronted the dark side of your character and realized that you need help. Becoming a Christian means you have come to realize that the wages of sin is death. You see, living without Jesus is hard. You carry this heavy load of guilt on your back. The future is depressing because you know that the wages of sin is death. The guilt and unsanctified heart make for strained relationships because you're not at peace with your Maker. You look inward for solutions because that's the lie that society is saying right now. The answers lie within you, and of course there are no answers within you. You try to bury your problems, and it only makes it worse. You seek for things to distract you from what is weighing on your mind. Verse 4 says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Are you thankful for your salvation tonight? Do you think Jesus knows that you're thankful for your salvation tonight? When did you last thank him for what he has done for you? You see, it is a gift to be washed through regeneration. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Jesus has this amazing ability to take us who are dirty and ugly from sin and wash us clean, white as snow. The miracle of regeneration. Red blood can wash us white as snow. What a miracle. The miracle of being free from your burden of sin. As the song says, there's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? The gift of washing through regeneration. The gift of being renewed in the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Ghost is a gift as well to us. It's not something that we earn, not something that we can do to get it, other than repenting and trusting in Jesus. Different times in the scripture, the work of the Holy Spirit was referred to as the times of refreshing. What better gift than to have your spirit renewed by the Holy Spirit? You know, our own spirit can be so shriveled up at times. And the Holy Spirit gets poured out on us, in us, and revives us in such a wonderful way. This past summer, we were extremely dry in our area. I believe it was close to 8 weeks that we didn't mow the grass. And then we got about 10 days of the most beautiful drizzly rain, and the ground just soaked it up, and the grass revived and almost had a springtime color green to it from all the moisture. The time of refreshing had come for our soil. And it was a beautiful thing to watch that and watch the plants and the ground respond to the time of refreshing that had come. And that's a word picture of how the Holy Spirit brings refreshment to our shriveled up soul and renews it and expands it and allows it to flourish and grow and to bring forth fruit. And it's just an amazing thing that God does in the work of a penitent sinner. The Holy Spirit's renewing in our experience. Thirdly, we are made heirs verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, not only is a sentence of death lifted from us, but we're adopted into the family of God and promised an inheritance. And I think many times, I think for myself especially, I forget about the promise of the inheritance that's in store for each one of us. And I think one of the reasons that we have trouble keeping our minds wrapped around it is we aren't quite sure what that inheritance looks like. But it's a beautiful thing to go from being estranged from your Heavenly Father to be adopted into his family and to be promised an inheritance that's in store for us in the world yet to come. You know, many people despair of life. Many people are discouraged and life seems so purposeless and so much darkness for them. So many people try to end their life because of that. And, you know, there's ways in which I understand why they get that way apart from Jesus. But when you have the gift of Jesus in your life and the beauty that comes to you and the promises that are ours and the purpose that he brings into our life, it metamorphoses how your life is in comparison to the person that has rejected God. What a beautiful thing it is to have an inheritance laid in store for us by the very creator of the universe, our redeemer, our sustainer, has welcomed us into his family and has said, here is an inheritance that I'm going to lay in store for you because you have reached out and responded to that mercy and love and kindness that I showered upon this world through Jesus Christ, my son. Heirs with Jesus. And someday we're going to understand the fullness of that inheritance. And I think when we understand that the fullness of that inheritance someday, we'll look back and we may think, why did I undervalue it so much? Why did it not connect with me? But tonight, I want to rekindle the wonder of salvation by reminding us that before, when we were estranged from God, we had no hope. Tonight, there's hope in your breast, and there is the promise of a beautiful inheritance in store for you. Well, I said earlier, we are not saved by good works. We are saved to good works. We're saved by the mercy and kindness of God through Jesus Christ. We are not saved by good works. We are saved to good works. Chapter 2, verse 14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So there is an importance to living right. There's an importance to good works flowing from our lives because that is what Jesus redeemed us for. It's not how we are redeemed, but it's what he redeemed us for. Purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Jesus' work in this world and on the cross was to bring about a special people that live righteously. And he wants us to be zealous in righteous living. However, we just must never forget that our salvation is because of God's great mercy and love. And so in verse 8 of chapter 3, this is a faithful saying. In these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And so I'm circling this message around to say that our theme verse is not minimizing the importance of you and I living righteously today and tomorrow and into the future. But rather it is to keep us from straying from our understanding of how salvation comes to us. And so that we don't end up with self-righteousness in our life because of living righteously, but rather there would be a humility and a thankfulness and a wonder of our salvation, which then flows out in maintaining good works, that we might be careful to maintain good works, because these things are good and profitable unto men. Perhaps the worst thing that could be done is to not maintain good works, because thereby God is blasphemed when men hear us name the name of Jesus, but then our life does not reflect that. And so tonight, I would like to kindle within our hearts a wonder for our salvation again, and also encourage us to be zealous in good works. What are those good works? Well, let's just pick a few things out of what we have read in this passage. It begins with verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. You know, one of the simple ways of living righteously is to honor and respect the authorities in our lives. And we're surrounded with those in many levels. You know, we have the authority in our simple home structure. We have the authority in our schools with our teachers and students, and we have authority in the church with those that lead out. And then our lives flow into our communities, and we drive down the road and we see a policeman there watching for speeders. You know, that's an authority in our life. And how do we respect and honor that authority? And some of these are easier at times to honor than others. You know, there's days where our day gets disrupted because we have a DOT inspector going over our truck and finds something wrong with it and puts us out of service. Yeah, we need to honor him as well. Maybe you're wanting to do some type of thing that requires a permit, and you get frustrated with the requirements of that. These are real life experiences, but good works are to flow from a heart that has been reconciled to his Creator. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work. Verse 2, to speak evil of no man. A good work that must flow from our heart is that we don't speak evil of any man. And I believe what this is teaching us is that we should be known as those who encourage and inspire, not those that spread harmful stories and delight in gossiping about others. You know, Revelation teaches us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And this is that spirit is the spirit of speaking evil of another. And that dare not be found in the bride of Christ. To speak evil of no man. To be no brawler. The word brawler here has the idea of causing a fight. So rather, we're to be peacemakers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Absorbing the hurts and difficulties rather than causing the hurts and difficulties. You know, when people observe that we absorb those hurts and difficulties, they know there's a different spirit in us. Because of our own spirit, we want to retaliate. We want to get even. It's native to each one of us. But God calls us to have peacemaking flow from our lives. Verse 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they're unprofitable and vain. You know, I don't know that there's a lot of strivings about the law in our world today, but we do live in a world where there are a lot of foolish questions and contentions that can suck you in. That's endless out there. You know, there's, if you start to drink from the fountain of conspiracy theories, and there's no end, it seems like, of that type of thing in this world. And it to me, it brings a unrest in our life, and doesn't, does it, as it says in the end of verse 9, they're unprofitable and vain. And I think that for some of us, they tickle our minds more than others. And for those that those things tickle our minds, there are times where we just need to let those things alone and stick with what we do understand. This evening, we live in a time when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, has appeared to all men through Jesus Christ. That's the time in which we live in. We're not living in the time where we're looking forward to the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're living in the time where we can look back to his appearing and understand how the love and mercy of God was shed abroad on the whole world through Jesus Christ. And today we look forward to his second coming. And so I trust that the study tonight rekindled within you a wonder of our salvation. And it wasn't earned by us, but rather it was poured out on us through the love and mercy of God. And he wants us to respond back in adoration and worship and to allow his Spirit to flow through us and to produce a life that is fruitful, a life that is full of virtue and his character, a life that draws men and women to him, a life that exalts him, a life that declares that he came and changed our lives, and that we call men and women to meet him as well. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.